D&E.
And they met at a karaoke bar in Madison, Wisconsin, singing Cheesehead songs.
Karaoke. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's not karaoke. I want to do
what
that.
Do you mean? Hold on.
It's I think it's not karaoke. It's karaoke. I wanted you to know that. You're gonna get the right pronunciation.
Karaoke.
My Chinese friends and Asian friends out there, could you please tell the Americans that it's not karaoke? That's not the way we say that in Japan or China and places like that.
Is it like their commercially run Dr. Orakaki?
Yes.
I did a little due diligence on that topic yesterday.
Okay.
And I was told that it's actually pronounced karaoke. Like if you went to A, that's what they would say. They would say karaoke.
Yes, they would not say karaoke.
Well, that's kind of
karaoke.
A white guy okie dokie way to say it, yes.
So like Mancheca?
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
Where's
I like
A?
That. I'm down.
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
No, that's no, Jewish fellow. That's not what they say.
It's not a Jew thing. It's how everybody says it.
No, they're wrong.
You mean you people?
Jewish fellow. Hey, black fellow.
I know. Is that right, though, E? You found out that, too, yesterday.
Karaoke.
Yeah, I said it to somebody. They jumped all up.
Like if you were watching.
Oh, they jumped all up in me.
If you were
for
watching
that.
The Karate Kid and you know, Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi.
Karaoke.
He would stop you from saying it that way.
Karaoke.
Yes.
Daniel-san.
It's like us. Karaoke in that movie?
It's just like mispronouncing Duxakis. Ooh, Duxakis. He wants his, yeah.
Duxakis.
Well, Duck Sausage is how you pronounce his name. No, karaoke is how you pronounce it.
Freshman left-hander for the Aggies.
It's not Duck Sausage. It's Duxakis.
Duxakis.
It's Doc. Like Doc. What's up, Doc, right?
Duxakis. D-O-X.
Docs.
Doc's Backyard Sausage.
Docs.
This is the hence herein lies why it's hard to say and difficult to say. There's an X and then S. So it's Doxoxic. Doxoxic.
No, E, it's not Doug Sausage. You're saying it wrong every time. You never say it right on the first trip.
It's impossible.
ESPN would get that wrong, correct? I don't know.
I know I do. Doxakis. Doxakis. Doxakis.
Just call him John. He'll be back next year.
John D.
John D. John
it's
D. Doxakis.
I can say it.
Yes, Doxakis.
Doxakis.
He'll be back for what? He's just a freshman, so we'll be messing with this for the next three
Poor
years.
Kid. Where's he from? Good-looking player. Good-looking player. All right, let's get your headlines quickly, and then we'll pick up this LeBron James conspiracy theory that I have that may have been buoyed by some evidence from the Chicago Sun-Times that I'll get you details on, but let's get you the news. UBO brings you the headlines this time around from the Ticket City Update Desk. More attrition for Texas football. Brandon Hodges started 9 games at right tackle last year for Charlie Strong. He's a senior. Well, he has an intention to transfer. The 6'5", 310-pound lineman will join a new team as a graduate transfer. He announced it via Twitter yesterday, which means he'll be able to play immediately wherever he does transfer to. Hodges signed out of the junior college ranks in 2015 from East Mississippi Community College and redshirted in 2015. He's the 7th player to depart UT this offseason, leaves the Horns pretty thin and certainly inexperienced on the right side of that offensive line. Major League Baseball, Nick Martinez took a shutout into the 7th. Carlos Gomez homered as part of a 4-run first inning for Texas. They beat Toronto 6-1. Adrian Beltre also hit a home run. Rangers back to .500 at 35-35. Speaking of fast starts, the Astros continue to get off to them. How about 5 runs in the first inning for them last night? That was highlighted by a first inning home run for George Springer, a leadoff job. That's the 8th time he's done that already this season. That's his 21st long ball on the year. Astros cruise to an 8-4 win in Oakland. Houston 21-year-old rookie Francis Martez also picked up his 2nd straight win there, pitching well with all the injured starting pitchers there. Memphis beat Round Rock 8-3 at Dell Diamond. Express take today off. They'll be back at Dell Diamond tomorrow night, Thursday, to host Iowa. College World Series in Omaha. TCU did it again, ending Texas A&M season for the 3rd consecutive year. It was the Horns 6'9 right-hander Brian Howard, striking out 12 Aggies in 7 innings. He was dominant. They win it 4-1. They win that elimination game. They will head to another elimination game Thursday night facing Louisville. Aggies are headed home. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update Desk.
There you have it. Lots going on, man. The NBA is going to be fun tomorrow. This will be now kind of the first draft I've watched in the NBA in quite a while.
I think so, too. No, I mean, the NBA has
got me going on this.
BK said
it
earlier, as well as you can. This has been more compelling than the playoffs were. I mean, outside of, because we only got a 5-game finals where we thought we were going to get a classic finals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the playoffs were, you know,
boring.
Foregone conclusion. Once Kyrie Irving twisted his ankle again, stepped on Zaza's foot. But this is pretty compelling because let me read this to you. Now, I brought up the crazy wild scenario last hour that maybe Dan Gilbert is just crazy enough to think he's going to trade LeBron James. And that's why he fired his general manager, who was working the phones to try to acquire more arsenal for LeBron James. I mean, at report, it was David Griffin was working a deal for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, trying to swing these deals. They were on the table. There was a report right before he was fired that this thing could happen quickly. And next thing you know, the dude's fired, which seemed odd, right? And then, you know, the trade's, I guess, still on the table. And then Jimmy Butler in Chicago announces and tells the Cavaliers he wants to stay in Chicago. He doesn't want to come to Cleveland, which leads people to say, wait a second, what's going on here? What does he know?
Yep.
Okay, so here's from the Chicago Sun-Times, which claims that, according to their report today, that Kyrie Irving could push for a trade because it looks like LeBron James may be leaving. Here's their story. All-star Kyrie Irving has been contacting some of his former Team USA teammates and letting them know that he might be willing to push for a trade, especially if he feels the Cavs' run could end quickly with James able to opt out after next season. Okay, so you connect these dots. And I'm just sitting here wondering, okay, what if Dan Gilbert traded LeBron James to get ahead of it? Understanding he's been burned once by King James when he made the decision and he left for Miami, shocked everybody, and he was left holding the bag. You've got a great asset. You've got the best player in the league who can opt out after next season. There's whispers everywhere that he's going to end up in Los Angeles next year. What if you could swing a deal now to acquire assets? There's reports that DeAndre Jordan is being shopped, the big center who, of course, the Mavericks tried to sign. You know, Blake Griffin also would be an asset. And I'm not saying this would be the right move. I'm just trying to figure out what Dan Gilbert is thinking. And if David Griffin, his GM, was going a different direction and he had to cut that off at the pass.
Sure.
You know, because the last thing you want to do is turn around and trade Kyrie Irving. I mean, he's your young superstar. Is there any chance that he could swing that? And then look, telling himself, hey, you know, at least the next 5 years, I've got Kyrie, I've got, you know, DeAndre Jordan, I've got Blake Griffin, I've got...
Still keeping Kevin Love?
Keep Kevin Love, and we'll go in the East every year with that group. We may not have LeBron James, and they may burn my house down here in Cleveland, but I've got four All-Stars.
Is that guy that crazy to do that? Because they will burn his house down.
I don't know, but the argument is this. Well, I'm going to lose him anyhow. It's kind of the same spot the Pacers are in right now with Paul George. But the only thing that's different is that Paul George has informed the Pacers.
Yeah,
that he's
LeBron
not coming
is not
back.
Informing Cleveland.
But if Kyrie Irving, if that's true, and look, these are reports, so it's crazy to take these reports and make too much. But if Kyrie Irving is actually calling teammates and saying, I might push for a trade because I'm hearing LeBron is not long for Cleveland, well, if you're the owner of that team, you've got to be proactive on that. You can't just sit there and let LeBron leave again and not get anything for him. I don't know. I'll put that out there I know it sounds completely insane.
Well, everybody's making these moves. The Golden State Warriors aren't doing anything but chilling out, wondering what they're going to do with their sixth man.
Well, that's what we said when Kevin Durant signed that contract. That changed everything. It was a total game changer. When a great team lands a great player like that,
right. It
just changes the equation for everybody and everyone's chasing. But again, add that into the equation that Jerry West just bolted to Los Angeles to be with the Clippers. You know, there's something working here that's big. I don't think there's just going to be – I mean, Dwight Howard getting traded again.
That's nothing.
I don't think will be the biggest trade we see in the next several weeks. I can't imagine Timofey Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell will be the biggest trade we'll see in the next couple of weeks. Am I sitting here saying I think LeBron James is going to get traded? No. I'm putting out the idea because I'm trying to figure out what the heck Dan Gilbert is doing and what the intention is. And if other people are hearing that LeBron's about to bolt again –
I got to have some percentages on that, like 90% LeBron's going to bolt.
Right, But if Kyrie's calling teammates, as the report says, and it's a report, and so if you're Dan Gilbert, and you know firing his guy David Griffin is going to tick him off.
Well, you've ticked him off. He's mad. He's upset about that.
Does that help or does that improve or lessen the chances that he's not going to opt out? Right? I mean, that's a double negative. But, you know, so you kind of pissed him off, right? So now he's a little bit – so does that help or hurt your chances of keeping him after 18?
Well, I haven't even thought about it that far down the road that LeBron James is actually going to leave Cleveland and go to L.A. and all these things that we've been talking about. But the reality of it is maybe that's where he does want to end his career. And if I can get some for him now
– something good.
I mean, well, you can't just get anything for LeBron James. You got to get – I need three or four players. I mean, we're talking about LeBron James here.
I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, just look at the Clippers, because that's where Jerry West landed, and that's where Steve Ballmer's got billions and billions of dollars. their situation and their roster is better than the Lakers roster, right? The argument I could make is that if I'm Dan Gilbert and I could acquire, and Blake Griffin, keep in mind, can opt out and be a free agent, but if you had a front line of Kevin Love, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, and you had Kyrie Irving in the backcourt?
Yeah, you're still pretty good.
You're really good.
You are good.
You're probably the favorite in the East. Now, Boston's trying to make moves, and Boston will be in that equation too, but you're in that mix. And that's not, and if you can re-sign Blake Griffin, you're in it for the foreseeable
future.
That's
not sounding so crazy there, BK. Now it sounds like that's not so crazy. You get that team together, those four guys together, you're still going to win the East.
Well, you got to remember that LeBron is one of three players in the NBA with a no-trade clause.
Oh, sure. No,
so
I mean, yeah.
He can turn any of this stuff down. If they're going to send him out to some other squad out in L.A. and he's not a fan of it, then he can say no and shut this thing down.
And right. I mean, totally. And again, this is a half-cocked theory.
And they'll burn Gilbert's house down with him in it.
But you know what? Then you sell it and say, look, he was going to leave, guys. He was going to do it to us again. He was on his way out the door. And I saved the day. And I put in we're going to field a really good team for the next 5 years. And we're going to build around Kyrie. And we're going to keep this group together. And we're going to dominate the Eastern Conference.
By the way, nobody else has said anything about their GM at Cleveland. It's only LeBron. The rest of them don't care. Right. His buddy is LeBron James.
And I don't know what that roster. Again, I'm just creating a scenario. I don't even know if those would be the players. But I have. We know Blake Griffin is shoppable.
Sure.
We know DeAndre Jordan is on the market. You build a pretty formidable team with that move. Yes, you do the unthinkable. You know, it's funny. Your mullet open is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. Your birthday is a week
from
tomorrow.
2 weeks from Friday. Two weeks from Friday. Yeah.
It was at the mullet open 2 years ago. Or was it 3 years ago now? When did LeBron sign with Cleveland? 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago now that LeBron's decision came down. That he was coming, the second decision, part two,
mm-hmm.
That it was July, you were having your mullet open, I was doing the show kind of by myself out at Wolf Dancer, and LeBron wrote the piece that came out in Sports Illustrated, and that launched it, that he's going back to Cleveland.
Right.
And in it, he said, I'm a son of Northeast Ohio, I grew up rooting for these teams, I know these people, this is my community, and I want to give them a championship. I want to help win them a championship. Well, he did that. He came back. They won. They went to the finals three times, and he won the championship. But now, the way the cards are stacked in Golden State, it doesn't appear he's going to win another championship in Cleveland, or unless something dramatic changes. And I don't know if he would turn down a trade to the L.A. Clippers, especially if he knows that the Cavaliers are still going to have a good team. He's in L.A. He has said openly in the past he'd love to play with Chris Paul. It's one of the guys he's never played with that he would be a
so we're looking at this as the Clippers. We're not looking at the Lakers.
No, I don't think they have the assets to go back the other way.
No, they're about to take.
Plus, you know, the one thing about LeBron, whatever you think of LeBron and the power he wields within the NBA, he does have a keen sense of
business.
Yes. And the Lakers front office is a mess right now. The Bust family, who's in control, who's not. Big Magic Johnson is now involved. I mean, who's really running the show there? That's confusing. Meanwhile, out in L.A., you know, same building, the Clippers, you know, Steve Ballmer's the owner. He's brought in Jerry West to, you know, help right the ship and help him guide the future. Doc Rivers is there. I don't know. I just none of this makes any sense. And really, it started to add up when I saw the Kyrie Irving story, the report that Jimmy Butler has told the Cavaliers he doesn't want to come to Cleveland. He wants to stay in Chicago, which is weird. Maybe him hearing the same rumblings. Because remember, Jimmy Butler was on Team USA as well. If Kyrie's calling teammates.
True.
And then he's telling the Cavs, hey, leave me alone. I'm not coming. I'm going to stay right here in Chicago. That's just weird. It's just a weird situation. And it leads me to wonder if there's something
I know
not
this.
Real big about that.
If
happen.
A dude is going to walk and a guy like LeBron James, I'm getting something for him. I don't care if you're going to burn my house down.
Yeah.
I'll build
a new house.
I got to get something for him. I can't let him just walk on me. He's walked before.
But you got to try to keep him. It's LeBron James.
But right? If he doesn't want to stay.
We don't know that for sure. That's all speculation. It's not like Paul George. I mean, LeBron, part of me thinks LeBron cares more about getting to the 6 championships that MJ has more than being a mogul at the age of 32 or whatever he is.
Okay, I'm down. If he decides
he wants to win titles, it's obvious the Eastern Conference is the way to go.
Stay.
Neither of the LA teams are, of course, in the East, and you got to go up against the Warriors before the finals.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. But what I'm saying is, if that's the case, Dan Gilbert knows that. So why would he clip the GM who's trying to improve the team to give them a better chance of winning the title?
Because it's Dan Gilbert.
Right.
Why would he just completely rip LeBron James to the point where it was insane for LeBron to even consider coming back when you knew there was a chance LeBron would consider coming back?
Go back to Monday of this week where there were reports that the Pacers were willing to talk Kevin Love straight up for Paul George. And that was one of the deals that was being discussed. And there were conversations that it could happen quickly. Well, Paul George gives you a better chance. You're improving the team for next year, which is what you just said LeBron wants. I agree with you. So why did Dan Gilbert pull the plug on those deals and fire the general manager that was orchestrating them? That doesn't jive.
There's something going on in Cleveland. There is something going
on. Maybe he really likes Kevin Love. I don't know. Maybe Dan Gilbert thinks this Cavs team is good enough as it is to beat the Warriors, which
he's wrong.
They're clearly not.
This guy says Dan Gilbert is a proven hater. There's no guesswork to it. He's a Cleveland guy through and through and doesn't want the best player in the NBA to embarrass his city again and some other team to experience success with him. He's a hater, plain and simple. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But again, LeBron does have that ironclad no-trade clause. He'd have to agree to any deal. But maybe the mood in Cleveland is, in that front office right now, is, you know what? If the situation's right, I would waive the no-trade clause. Maybe we've run this thing to empty here.
And that pissed LeBron James off. He didn't know this was coming. And Dan Gilbert said, guess what we're about to do to you? And LeBron could say, well, you know I have a no-trade clause. You know I can stay wherever I want to stay. But Dan Gilbert says to him, but we don't want you, LeBron. We don't want you. Number one player in the world. Nah, we can do without you. By the way, thanks for the championship. You left us once, and we hear that you're going to leave us again anyway. And I want to squash the rumors. I want to get what I can get for you now. It's business.
God, what would the demand be for LeBron James?
That would be huge.
Oh, my God. You'd have to give up your next 8 drafts.
But you know what? It's business.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
The business is to win titles.
Right.
Like the Cavs are clearly a final two team every year. They make a move or two, then they get back to the finals. You got to try to keep that alive, no?
I don't disagree with you, but if...
It is fishy, you're right.
Right. Like LeBron James' mindset is what you're saying, BK. Let's get better, let's win a title, let's keep running this thing. Not one, not two, not three, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if Dan Gilbert's mindset is what you just said? I'm not letting you burn this city again. I'm not letting you burn me again. And guess what? I'm looking long term. And if I can take a 32 to be 33-year-old asset, which is maybe the greatest asset that there's ever been, and turn it into 2 or 3 really good players plus the next 4 drafts.
And guess what, E? The fans are going to love that team. That even without LeBron James, those guys like that, like Blake Griffin, they would love that team.
Right, and he'd have to.
They're not going to not come to those games to see those guys play together.
Agreed, because now you build around Kyrie. You've got a rim protector in DeAndre Jordan. Blake Griffin's a young. You know, whatever Blake
Still
Griffin is.
Kevin Love hanging around
there.
You
got Kyrie saying that if LeBron leaves, of course, I know it would be with Blake, but if Kyrie's saying if LeBron leaves, I want out too, maybe he's not going to jive with DeAndre.
No, I know. DeAndre.
Now, that's a problem if he's gone.
Oh, the Cavs are about
all you're
doing
to be, just switching those.
The Cavs are about to be really bad again for like a long period of time if LeBron leaves after next year.
They're about to become Brooklyn? Are they going to become Brooklyn?
I think they become Brooklyn. But look, if Dan Gilbert's firing the architect of this roster, who is already looking to improve the roster for next year.
Interesting.
Doesn't seem to make a lot
of
sense.
Fireworks about to happen here
in
48 hours.
Again, and then the report in Boston that the Boston Celtics and Bulls were talking about a Jimmy Butler straight up for the number 3 overall pick tomorrow night trade, and that the report was that Boston turned it down, which that doesn't make sense either. You got all these assets. You want to turn your assets into star players. There's no guarantee that anybody you take with a 3rd draft pick is going to be a star player. Jimmy Butler is an all-star player. So
we need to just start reporting stuff.
I know. Well, that's one of the things. I mean, we talk about.
Well, that's what's
going
on. Every time it gets closer to any draft, you start hearing all kinds of stuff that, you know, guys like Jeff George are going somewhere.
Reporting LeBron James to the Mavs for Seth Curry and Yogi Ferrell.
Yogi.
I'm going to report that.
I mean, these reports come from good substance. I mean, we're talking about Woj bombs, and we're talking about the Chicago Sun-Times, and we're talking about.
The Trib.
Oh, if Woj says it, it's happening. It's done.
And it does sound like, and the one thing it does sound like is there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of things being said. You keep hearing the Clippers, and now that Jerry West is there, what does that mean for Chris Paul? What does that mean for the Spurs? I mean, this is really pretty compelling stuff. And as you said, meanwhile, the Golden State Warriors just kind of sit up there and
they're gone fishing.
Watch it all happen.
They're with Casey. They're with Casey. They're out fishing
right
now.
They're with the Big Uglies. They're hanging out.
They're not to do anything.
That's exactly right.
Kevin Durant's having his camp here with millions of kids coming to it, probably.
And next July 20th, 21st. Love all kinds of kids.
Did you know how many kids are going to come to that camp?
You've got Charlie Strong there teaching you how to do cakes and KD no. teaching you how to bake cupcakes.
No, man. KD is just going to kill it with the kids around here. The whole state of Texas is coming to that camp.
This says, guys, what if it's as simple as Gilbert thinking the GM is a knucklehead and he wants to get someone in there who'd make the right moves to improve the team? Well,
he had three of them and he thought were knuckleheads then.
Well, he's been there for 3 years. They've gone to the finals in each season and they won the title. That's not actually a knucklehead.
No. No.
And LeBron likes him.
That doesn't sound right.
Right. And he's well respected around the league. And most people anticipate that he'll land on his feet really quickly. And it's, you remember when everyone got mad at LeBron because Dave Blatt got fired? Right? The coach when he got him clipped. Well, what's been the demand for Dave Blatt since the Cavaliers fired him? Where did Dave Blatt land? Remind me.
He's back with Putin, right?
With Putin?
Isn't he back coaching with Putin?
I don't think he coaches Putin's summer league team. Hey, where is Dave Blatt these days, BK?
BK's got a call. He's got an important caller on the line somewhere. Yeah.
Well, he's now is a former professional basketball coach. He's the head coach for a Turkish Super League now.
I'm telling you, that's not actually Putin. Putin, I thought he was there coaching in that league.
So what I'm saying is, when Dave Blatt was let go, okay, there was no demand. This guy, David Griffin, most people within the league believe he's going to land a good job soon. To the texter's point about that he's a knucklehead. Well, he doesn't appear to be a knucklehead.
It's going to be some good 48-hour stuff over this draft.
Maybe longer than that. I don't know.
July 1st still is the deadline, so it's interesting.
Obviously, people look back and laugh. I'm just putting it out there, just trying to connect dots and make something make sense because it doesn't make sense.
But the other thing doesn't make sense. Why would you get rid of Griff? Why would you do that? That's the one that really doesn't make sense.
Right.
When your superstar loves the guy.
Right, and he's working the phones to try to actively pick up a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler or somebody who can actually put you back in position to go after Golden State next year. It seems to me with the timing of it that it was done to pull the plug and prevent any of these deals from happening for whatever reason.
Maybe Durant is leaving the Warriors.
Oh, see, here we go.
Why can't Durant leave?
Kevin Durant, no. Well, look, there's no smoke of that. There's some smoke around this deal, and that's where, because if Kyrie Irving's talking to Team USA teammates and saying, hey, I want out of here, this thing's about to implode, LeBron's about to bolt.
And by the way, it's all about the players because they're the ones that make the decisions now anyway, where they're going. You're right.
You're damn right. All right, we'll come back. Pick that up. We'll hit your baseball as well. Astros and Rangers both get wins last night. We'll tell you what was significant about the Astros' win on the West Coast last night. Also, more attrition. What does it mean for Brandon Hodges leaving for Tom Herman in that right tackle position for the Longhorns? It's all coming up. B&E here on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Reports. Who knows what's going to happen between the next 48 hours of the NBA. NBA draft is tomorrow night. Coming up for the top of the hour, the odds are out. You're talking about going to blazing hot Las Vegas to make a bet. Over-under Texas wins at 7.5. Over-under Atlanta Falcons wins at 9.5. I have another set of odds that are out that you might be interested in. Odds to win the NFL's MVP award for 2017. And where the Cowboys quarterback lands on those odds might surprise you. Might surprise you. Maybe not. Maybe not. But we'll also talk about Tom Herman and what he does at right tackle now. Whether Brandon Hodges was going to be the guy or not, we don't know. But he certainly is not going to be there now as he's transferring. But real quick on this, on the baseball from last night. Rangers finally beat the Blue Jays, which is a good thing, right? That was a good one. Got a good start from Martin Perez. And Nick Martinez, they get the win last night. And Astros beat the A's. Astros are up to 48 wins now. You know, they're still going without three starting pitchers. And they keep starting guys like Brad Peacock and Francis Martez last night and David Paulino, and yet they're actually extending their lead in the West. They're up to 12 games now, 48-24. But I think of note for the Astros, Buck, is the year that George Springer's putting together.
Yes.
I mean, you know I've always had a high opinion of George Springer, and we're hoping he would stay healthy for a full season because that's one of his issues. He's been getting hurt. But he hit his 21st home run last night. You realize Springer from the leadoff spot. Kind of funny, he's playing on Ricky Henderson Field last night out in Oakland. Ricky Henderson was always famous for the leadoff home runs. But George Springer's on pace to hit 47 home runs this year from the leadoff position. His OPS is 920. which is ridiculous, and his batting average is up over 280.
He's the best player on that team.
I know. Well, and that's a mouthful.
On a pretty damn good team.
Right. I mean, he's been unbelievable, and he's having a great season. You know, Correa was player of the month in the month of May, and here June, Altuve's kicking it up. And so, I mean, that team is...
Well, you talked about players that can carry their team when things aren't...
Well, that's what I've said about the Astros. That's what's scary about them.
They've got a bunch of guys.
They've got five guys in that lineup that can get hot and carry you for a week. And Springer's obviously one of them. Correa, Altuve. I think Yuli Gurriel, when he gets going, that guy is a streaky son of a gun. You get him going, he can carry you, bro. You know, I don't even think Carlos Beltran's really gotten going this year. They've got lumber in that lineup, and that's what's saving them. But there's you realize the Astros have scored more runs than anybody in the American League, and even all the injuries, they've got the best starting pitching ERA in the American League, which is why they're 25 games over 500. But keep an eye on George Springer. He and Correa and Altuve are all leading in their positions. Right now, they'd be all-stars by the voting, which is pretty cool that you could have that trio headed to Miami for the all-star game next month. And at some point here shortly, they're going to get Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton back into that rotation. Watch out for that. I mean, where do they go from there when those guys get back? But George Springer, which, by the way, they're going to have to give him a big contract here coming up as well.
Yep. You know, we've talked a lot of basketball over the last...
It won't be in Houston.
No.
Oh, I think it will. They got 3 more years
It'll
of arbitration
be in New York.
With him. But I think Springer's one of those guys. They're going to draft it and develop guys. I think they'll offer. I mean, they're going to try to get ahead of... They're going to try to get ahead of free agency with George Springer. I don't think Carlos Correa... Correa is the one that I don't think is forever Houston. I think Altuve and Springer will be. I think Correa is the guy. I think in his mind he wants to be in New York at some level and on a big stage like that. I don't know if that's Springer. I think Altuve and Springer will be Astros for a long, long time. Correa is going to be the tough one, but Correa is only 21. They have control of him for, 3 or 4 more years. So we'll see. But Springer having a great year. It's fun to watch him.
You know, as I said, as we talk about basketball, over the last couple of days, which has actually been kind of fun to talk about something other than the Warriors and Kevin Durant winning this thing and going to win every year. But I'll ask the question of BK, why is Mark Cuban not doing it? We don't hear him on the radar of anything big happening.
He's filming Shark Tank, dude.
Come on, man. I know he's busy. I know he's busy doing computer stuff, but they're not doing anything. Dallas not doing a thing. They're just... wondering if Nowitzki is going to, they're going to saddle him up with a statue or whatever.
Well, he's getting a statue for sure. But they got to rebuild. Yep. They had a really solid run of making the playoffs. They had the second longest active streak behind San Antonio. They were there every year, just less postseason success. But at this point, I mean, they got the ninth pick in the draft. Anytime you're in that situation, you don't want to be in purgatory where you're signing these guys that'll make you an 8 seed or a 7 seed.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
Which we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Cuban does and try to salvage something out of Dirk's last year. But I would, they got to rebuild. They got to build through the draft for once.
Two words, Ricky Rubio.
No. Oh. Please, no.
Please, no.
Please, no.
I heard they're flirting with Ricky Rubio. But also this on Mark Cuban. I mean, I like that thought, BK, that you just have to bottom out. It doesn't do you any good to be.
I thought they'd been bottomed out.
Well, no.
Since they won a championship.
As long as they've had Dirk, they've tried to put pieces around him. They've got some. I mean, they're not the Brooklyn Nets at this point. They've got Rick Carlisle, who's a terrific coach. But it's tough. I mean, you've got to go find. What are you seeing for them with the ninth pick, BK? Any mock ideas there?
A lot of the mock drafts have them taking Dennis Smith Jr., the freshman point guard out of NC State.
Oh, I like him.
It's a pretty solid point guard draft class this year.
Put some people in the seats because he's exciting.
Yeah, he's not a great shooter, but the dude can score. Wherever he goes his rookie year, he's going to put up points. He can slash for sure. A little bit undersized. I don't even know if he's 6 feet tall. But, you know, the Mavs already do have Seth Curry and Yogi Ferrell, who, you know, aren't obviously frontline starting point guards in this league, but they already do have guys there. So maybe the thought is, I think if that Lauri Markkanen from Arizona, that 7-foot 3-point shooter, I think if he's there at 9, which most mock drafts don't have him being there, I think the Mavs will go for him. But most of what I'm seeing is Dennis Smith or that French guy, Frank Ntilikina.
What about Jared Allen? Big Jared Allen.
I don't think big
Jared Allen, baby.
Oh,
come
what
on.
You done lately?
I'm seeing him 13 to 18, 19 range on most mock drafts for JA.
By the way, the Markkanen kid from Phoenix or from Arizona, that's what really lit the fuse yesterday, that the reports were that Phil Jackson was willing to trade Kristaps Porzingis, who their 21-year-old budding star, and that they're looking at this marketing guy and thinking he can be the he's a similar looking player. But gosh, you're talking about, you know, Kristaps is like 7'2", 7'3", and can make threes and
can
block
handle
shots
the ball.
And handles. And when this news came out, the Knicks fans just wanted to burn the place down. What are you doing? You can't. That's the one thing we have. Don't trade him. But we'll see. Phil Jackson not making any fans among the Knicks fans. But again, that was just a report. I love we are doing it, but
right.
These reports come out and everybody freaks out. And you got to know somewhere in these offices, the GMs and people are just like, look at these people. People are like fire
ants. Somebody
ants.
Just say, don't forget the expansion draft in the NHL.
That's today.
Did somebody say that?
Vegas gets all their players.
Guess
today.
What? I forgot about it already.
Come on, man.
What says NHL?
What's Vegas get to do? Take anybody from any team now? Is that the deal?
Well, you got to protect however many on your roster, and then they get to draft.
Sid the Kid going to Vegas now?
No. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. You better not.
No. When you get to
their goalie's going, maybe.
It's the back end of your roster. You can protect X number of players, and then they get to draft from the scrubs.
Yeah, their goalie may go.
There's some good players who are available, but yeah, you get to protect 9 players. I think every team does, so they won't. They won't be a great team from the jump.
Well, didn't football do that? Didn't when we started out this stuff? Didn't Jacksonville?
They've always done it.
Didn't Tom Coughlin?
Well, remember, if you go back, know your expansion history. Jacksonville and Carolina, they overdid it. I mean, they so rolled out the red carpets for Jacksonville and Carolina. Those two teams were in the conference championship games 2 years in.
That's right, Tom Coughlin.
Tom Coughlin, yeah. And they got to load up, and it wasn't just the expansion players, it was the draft picks that they got. They got doubled up on draft picks, and they got to stockpile talent. And then you turn that around. When Cleveland came in, they were the next expansion team. When Cleveland got a new team after the Browns left to go to Baltimore,
right.
they went way too far the other way. And Cleveland almost got nothing. And it's really hurt that franchise from the jump. The owners are like, well, man, we gave away way too much on that deal, so we're not going to do it for Cleveland. And Cleveland's been horrible ever since. And you know, their own bad drafting has aided to that too. But then, so Houston was next. And Houston got something in the middle. Problem Houston had is they had Charlie Casserly running their expansion draft.
That's right.
And he screwed that up 10 ways to Sunday and then made David Carr his first draft pick, which put Houston in a hole.
Immediately. Then they get his brother, and then they don't want to touch him because he was David Carr's brother.
Remember, they signed. Because one of the things that happened in the NFL is they were able to take those really bad contracts, and the Texans took Tony Boselli's contract off of the Jaguars, who was hurt all the time, took the other tackle from the Jets. He just loaded up on all these veteran old
bad
dudes.
Bad players,
that got
old
hurt.
Players, yes.
And then so thinking he was going to have this veteran offensive line, and then he drafts David Carr with their first pick out of Fresno State. And then they couldn't protect him, and it was just a disaster. Charlie Casserly was a disaster in Houston. Outside of Andre Johnson, that's about all he did, period.
And for the Longhorns at right tackle, the problem is there, do we have a little bit of a problem here in Austin, Texas?
Right tackle. We'll ask that question when we come back. Quick timeout, and also get you those odds on winning the MVP in the NFL this year. That's always an interesting conversation. We'll do that one quick as well. It's B&E on the Horn, and yes, who plays right tackle for Texas in 2017? Won't be Brandon Hodges. We'll get you details next.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this morning or heard this. We haven't mentioned it. The Patriots have signed former New York Jets linebacker David Harris, who was one of the better players on that bad Jets team.
Really?
The Patriots have had one of the greatest off seasons ever for a team coming off winning the Super Bowl. This is ridiculous.
You're supposed to lose people.
Yeah, they just won the Super Bowl, and they added Brandon Cooks from New Orleans, the speedster, who gives Tom Brady just another weapon that they'll use perfectly. They signed Rex Burkhead away from the Bengals, who will be used like a Swiss Army knife out of the backfield.
They signed Hightower.
They signed Mike Gillisley. He was the running back that whenever LeSean McCoy would go out of the game in Buffalo, he'd come in and play well, a kid out of Florida. They signed Dwayne Allen, the tight end, from Indianapolis. He'll be opposite Rob Gronkowski this season. They signed Stephon Gilmore to play corner opposite Malcolm Butler. I mean, David Harris, who is the best linebacker on the Jets team. I mean,
he's really a good linebacker. You know?
I know. So you took a Super Bowl winning team, and I just went through about 6 really good players that they added. That's why they gave away all their draft picks going up into the draft, because they knew no rookie was walking in to make that team.
If you're a fourth round draft pick for the New England Patriots, you're not going to make the team.
No, they're going to take those picks and bring in veteran players because they're trying to win, and they can. And it's ridiculous. So that is I don't know that there's been a Super Bowl champion that's had a better offseason ever.
That's why I'm not taking the Atlanta Falcons to win the Super Bowl, maybe just to get there.
Crazy.
Because they're not going to win a Super Bowl. But New England's going to win
again.
At
every level. They signed two
The Golden State Warriors in the NFL.
Well, they're looking
New England.
Hey, and maybe my Astros are becoming the Golden State Warriors of baseball. Oh!
I don't think so, E.
Hey, what are you talking about?
It's like you hear that? Did everybody just hear what he just said?
Hey, listen.
They are becoming the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball?
Well, listen, when they send seven All-Stars to the All-Star game, who else is going to do that?
Seven?
Yeah.
Who's seven?
Well, I think Keuchel and McCullers will be there despite their injuries.
Right.
I think the three will be voted in.
Right.
Which is a good chance for Chris Devensky to be there. And Ken Giles has 16 saves.
Ken Giles.
Yeah, those last two I don't buy. But the ones I buy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right, it's still five. If it's five, it's still going to be most or second most in the league. So,
yeah.
That ain't bad.
All young players.
Warriors. I'm marking the tape on that.
I'm glad you have to mark that one.
I think they're about to go on a run here for several years as a juggernaut. My opinion. I'm watching these young pitchers come up, like Martez and Polino, and they're stacked with good players.
Oh yeah, and like my Yankees have lost seven in a row right now,
they've
got to need a new manager, and all of a sudden CC Sabathia is back to being fat again.
That's right. Well, New England is ridiculous. Let's just say that. And with that said, here are the odds on winning the 2017 NFL MVP award from one of the sports books in Vegas. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady 4-1. 4-1 to win the NFL MVP at 40 years young for TD Tom. Second best odds to win the MVP, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson at 10-1. How about this one? 11-1, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. 11-1. You like any odds on that?
I don't know.
Matty Ice, the defending champ and defending winner of that award, 12-1.
No. I'm looking at one right now that's a beauty. I want it badly. I got this Vegas thing going on. I'm going after this one.
What is it?
Julio Jones at 33-1. Wide receiver.
Why don't you just give me that money? I'll just put it in my pocket.
What?
Because when's the last time a wide receiver won the
$1.
MVP?
You'll take just the dollar and give me 33?
Yeah, I'll take that.
When was the last time a receiver won the MVP award?
I don't know. When was the last time? Wasn't Randy Moss?
Has it ever happened?
No.
No. So you can just go ahead and give me that money.
No.
No, not going to happen?
Here's one I'll take. If you want to give me that money, I'll go make the bet on Derek Carr at 20-1.
Here's one that I'll laugh at all the way to nowhere. Sam Bradford with the Vikings.
He's down at 33-1. Now, I'd put a C-note on Derek Carr at 20-1.
What about your guy, David Johnson?
Big David Johnson. No, quarterbacks win this award. And if it's not going to be a quarterback, it'll be
Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke Elliott.
At 12-1.
Quarterbacks have won 10 of the last 11. AP was a running back at 2012. The rest have been quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm taking
a lot of Brady's and Manning.
I like
there.
The Derek Carr at 20-1. I really do. I think that one's got a chance. That's got a, I think
yeah. Which one just
Derek
has,
Carr can put up
tell
monster
me this,
numbers.
Which one just has, it's not even at 50 or 60-1, it's no chance.
Deshaun Watson. He's on there at 50-1. Tom Savage.
Andy Dalton.
Tom Savage is on there.
He's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Andy Dalton.
For 4 weeks.
That is great.
He's going to be a 4 week MVP.
Dalton even made the list. Really?
No way.
Okay, how about this? Drew Brees. Drew Brees all down at 33-1.
Who had better odds? Andy Dalton to win or Leicester City to win the Premier League a couple years ago?
All right. Last thing. We wanted to mention this Brandon Hodges story one more time before we get out of here. Brandon Hodges is transferring. This kind of was a curious story when it broke. Not a surprise that he's leaving, but the way it came down, because remember, he missed a lot of the spring, and the program said it was dealing with academic issues, which meant getting his grades right. Well, I guess he got his grades right enough to graduate. So now he's a graduated senior, because remember, he came in from junior college, redshirted, and he's played for two seasons. So now he's been on the campus for quite a while, so he's done with his duff. So he tweeted yesterday that hashtag next chapter. He's moving on, grad transfer. He's going to find a new school. He can play immediately. Now,
somebody tells you something then.
That means Tristan Nicholson was running first team.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing the hell out of Denzel Okafor and the Gene DeLances and the J.P. Urquidy's of the world to step up. And Okafor's the big name there. They like his tenacity. So if you're Brandon Hodges and you're going into what's your final college football year and you might be running second or third team.
Well, if you're running second team, you're staying. If you're running third and if the handwriting's on the wall, you got to go.
And you didn't participate much in the spring.
Right, you got to go.
But then Texas says who's our right tackle, because the Longhorns have a chance to have a really good offensive line, one of the better ones they put on the field in a decade this year, anchored by Connor Williams. But they've got to figure out that right tackle spot, and I think they'd like to see someone like Denzel Okafor come win it, because Tristan Nicholson is kind of a ceiling on his athleticism and his feet and what he can be. But it's probably his job unless someone comes and takes it from him.
And I'll still say this. I like it on the right side more than I like it on the left side. So you know what I'm saying? Shane can see it coming.
No, I agree with you. And that's where Connor Williams is.
You don't want it on the left side.
Well, you got one of the best in the country, arguably there on the left side, and one of the leaders of that team and hardest workers on that team on the left side. All right, Buck, fun stuff on a Wednesday. It's going to be 99 and sunny day, the first full day of summer, so enjoy the sun being up a long time in the summer solstice. BK, have a good show today, midday. Anything fun happening?
Always fun happening.
Okay, no more flashlight talk?
We'll have Justin Wells of Inside Texas.
Nice.
We'll talk some Texas football today.
I'd like to hear him. Nice. No flashlights?
No, please, that's over.
I can't comment on that.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. It'll be a Buck Off Thursday. B&E, have a great Wednesday.